This is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Farm groups ranging from Farm Bureau to commodity groups representing corn, wheat, beef, and pork are celebrating the Supreme Court decision regarding the EPA's jurisdiction over waters of the United States. The Environmental Working Group is not happy. EWG President Ken Cook said the Supreme Court ruling undermines EPA's authority to prevent damage to wetlands from farm pollution and other industrial activities. EPA Administrator Michael Regan said the agency is still evaluating the Supreme Court decision on the waters of the United States.
I am deeply disappointed that the court seemingly is taking away EPA's ability that has been standing for 50 years, but we're going to have to take a close look at that.
Meanwhile, the White House said the court ruling will take our country backwards. In a statement, President Joe Biden said it puts our nation's wetlands at risk of pollution and destruction, jeopardizing the clean water that American families and farmers depend on. Supreme Court killed the significant nexus rule, which the government used when making wetlands determination. Significant nexus makes a connection between small bodies of water with more traditional navigable waters, such as rivers. National Cattlemen's Beef Association wrote a friend of the court brief highlighting numerous issues with the significant nexus test. Chief Counsel Mary Thomas Hart says one issue deals with the criminal liability that had been attached to the Clean Water Act.
NCBA argued to the court that there's no way we can constitutionally hold someone liable for a violation of the Clean Water Act if they're not even aware that they're violating the Clean Water Act, right? And the significant nexus test was so broad and so vague that someone could violate the Clean Water Act without even realizing it. That is a piece of our amicus brief that the court adopted and included in their opinion. And so we were really excited to see that. And I think it goes to this, you know, larger response that today's opinion provides a lot of additional regulatory certainty for landowners across the country, including farmers and ranchers.
Rinke Noonan law firm attorney Kale Van Bruggen said the decision is showing favor to a clearer process of determining what is a water of the U.S.
The Supreme Court's decision sets a pretty black and white rule saying that that significant nexus test is no longer tolerable. It was developed by Justice Kennedy over 17 years ago in the Rapanos case, and it has sparked much litigation between the regulated community and the agencies, but I think the court's decision is ruling in favor of that more black and white continuous surface connection test.
Van Bruggen says the decision was also based on the severe penalties for violating clean water rules.
What that means for farmers and landowners is it should be much more clear on the landscape which wetlands are regulated under the Clean Water Act and which wetlands are not. And in its opinion, the court actually comments on that and says because of the severe criminal and civil penalties that go along with Clean Water Act violations, having a rule in place that makes that test clear is even much more important. So we don't know yet. You know, obviously the agency is going to take some time to review this and decide its next steps, but I anticipate that there's going to need to be significant changes to that most recent rule in order to comply with this Supreme Court ruling.
The Environmental Protection Agency has issued a final rule regulating plant-incorporated protectants. These pesticides are generally modified to help plants resist viruses, bacteria, and insects. The American Seed Trade Association said the new rule increases the regulatory burden of plant breeders and limits innovation for farmers. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network. Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. An in-depth look at trade relations was a center point for the U.S. Meat Exports Federation Spring Conference. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
AGON partner and former chief counsel for the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, Kenneth Smith, spoke at the United States Meat Export Federation Spring Conference on trade between Mexico and the U.S. Smith says consultations are ongoing for USMCA.
Mexico published a decree to try to restrict corn imports into Mexico back in 2020. The U.S., of course, complained. The Canadians joined the consultation as well. And essentially, we are at a process where the discussions are ongoing in the meetings of the USMCA, the committee that looks at these issues. There is a possibility, if there is no resolution, that the U.S. or Canada may call for a panel, a dispute resolution panel that could lead to trade retaliation. Hopefully, it will not get to that. The Mexican government published a new decree at the beginning of this year where they established that they will not restrict imports into Mexico. It will be able to be used for livestock feed and also for agro-industrial processes.
The restriction of GM corn for human consumption is still in place. Smith says only a small amount of corn actually makes it into the human food supply in Mexico.
It is difficult. There is a small market in Mexico for corn that's not coming from the U.S. from genetically modified organisms. But very little of the corn that Mexico imports goes into direct human consumption. Mexico produces over 20 million tons of non-GMO corn per year. In fact, some years we have exported Mexican corn, especially to Central America and other countries. So the big problem here is by issuing this decree, there will be a slippery slope in terms of Mexican regulations becoming more strict against GMO products. We've seen it not just in corn, we've seen it on cottonseed, soybeans. The Canadians are very concerned about canola.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Looking ahead, U.S. Meat Export Federation Chair Dean Meyer says the beauty of USMEF is its broad base.
We don't key on any one market. We're diverse and broad-based. And, you know, right now, with the challenges we have in this country, whether it's, you know, the pork prices, the input prices, you know, we got Prop 12, port issues, the shining star right now is exports. I mean, pork exports have been just tremendous the first quarter of this year. And beef exports are, again, picking up, coming off two record years.
USMEF is looking at several new markets.
New frontiers would be, you know, Africa's a new frontier, Indonesia. You know, we got the stables of Mexico, Korea, Japan's. You know, there are stable markets, but we don't restrict. We continue to find new markets. We got staff in three new countries now, and we're excited about the future here.
Minnesota Beef Council Executive Director Kelly Schmidt attended the USMEF Spring Conference to generate ideas on how to expand beef's research.
On the council side, we're always trying to look for ways to expand demand for the product. So we're blessed right now with some good cattle prices. We want to make sure demand is there on the back end so people are continuing to want that product. I already talked about exports, but we want to look at domestic demand as well. So we're always trying to reach the consumer. So one thing I'll say that we're doing is we're here in Minneapolis, the metro area. That's the place where we want to make sure we're interfacing with consumers to make sure that they're confident in liking our product, you know, and so that's what we're working on every day, is just making sure the consumer is there to really demand and want our product here in the grilling season.
And Schmidt gives us an update on what Minnesota Beef Council has been up to this year.
So we're just coming off of beef month. So May is beef month, so we've done a lot of different promotions focusing on that. We try to do some things on the television here in the Twin Cities market through some lifestyle and food type shows. We support a lot of different local producer promotions out state through different county cattlemen's groups. They've been doing a lot of those, so we look forward to that. Some other things for the summer that we're really looking forward to, we are really going to promote summer grilling because that's a big time for beef. 4th of July, Memorial Day are big ones into Labor Day. Later on, our Minnesota State Fair on Labor Day weekend and our Farm Fest, which is also in August, those are big events for us to get out to.
The state of North Dakota has issued a cease and desist order against Agridyme LLC and its owner, Joshua Link. The Arizona man has sought investors to buy cattle at $2,000 per head, promising a guarantee of 15% to 25% annual return. State Securities Commissioner Karen Tyler claims Link and Agridyme are acting as an unregistered broker-dealer and committing fraud. This is the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. June will be a busy month for the North Dakota Stockmen's Association as they prepare to celebrate 94 years. Communications Director Elizabeth Nesham says they will be hosting spring roundups, young cattlemen's conference, and the feedlot tour.
We're going to start off with our spring roundups right at the beginning of the month. So we'll be traveling the state for those, visiting our different districts, and hosting meetings for our membership to get together and just talk about what's going on. There'll be informational programs, suppers, pie auction, nominating committee meetings, and a little bit more. Our Junior Beef Expo in Minot, and that's a field day open to junior members ages 8 to 21. That'll be a cattle show featuring a breeding heifer, market steer, market heifer show, showmanship contests, and more. So that's going to get hosted in Minot on June 23rd and 24th. And then on June 27th, we're going to host our feedlot tour near Wing and Goodrich this year. We're going to visit two hoop barns for that.
The spring roundups will give members a chance to provide input and hear updates on the industry.
Those are designed to bring our association directly to its members. So we are visiting those different districts to provide information to the state's cattle producers after they've gotten cows out to grass and this and that, learn what's going on, and gather their input for the North Dakota Stockmen's Association to... We're using the title Blaze a Trail Forward this year. So that's why we're inviting members to bring their input and ideas to enjoy a fun evening topped with a beef meal. So that's the idea behind our spring roundups. We like to get members, both young and old, new, all the things, just producers. You don't have to actually even be a member to come and enjoy a beef meal. More information is available on our website, www.ndstockman.org.
Checking markets before we leave you this morning. We're seeing July wheat in Minneapolis 12 cents higher, 817 and a half. September's up 12 at 820. Chicago July wheat 8 1/4 higher at 612 and a half. In Kansas City, July wheat 12 and 3/4 higher at 830 and 3/4. July corn is up 2 3/4 at 593 and a half. December's up 9 3/4 at 525 and 3/4. July soybeans are 14 cents higher at 1338. November 14 and a half cents higher at 1186 and a half. And up in Winnipeg, the July canola trading $6.60 a metric ton higher at $692.80 Canadian. Just a reminder, we have a normal business day today in the futures markets, closing at our normal time this afternoon. Do not have any trade Sunday night or Monday, and then they will reopen for a post-Memorial Day holiday Monday evening at 7 o'clock in those futures markets. Checking farm calendar, North Dakota Junior Red Angus Association's field day, June 3rd and 4th. That will be at Streeter. The North Dakota Stockmen's Association, again, spring roundups, the first one coming up on June the 2nd. That'll be held at Hepper Ranch at Fort Yates, followed by the District 6 spring roundup. That'll be at Turtle Lake at the Wildlife Club there. Thanks for joining us this morning. Have a good Friday and a great Memorial Day weekend. This is the Red River Farm Network.